Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this evening, Lord. I ask, oh God, that your word would be made alive in each of our hearts and minds, our hearts, spirits, soul, mind, and body, Lord. Lord, I just ask, oh God, that there might be something out of these verses that will catch each person in this place. It may not be the same thing, but Lord, just let it resonate in their spirit, Lord. And then let them feast on it for just a little while. And I'm sure that, God, your spirit that enlightens, your word will come alive. And I thank you, Lord, for those that are here, those that aren't here, God. And I ask you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're on Psalms. I'm doing one Psalms 19, 121 through 128. This particular chapter, or not chapter, but series, those seven verses, is A-I-N is at the top of your Bible in that section. Or it may say A-Y-N. They're basically the same thing. It is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, pronounced Ayin, which means eye or to see. And the first thing that came to my mind when I read that, I wrote it down and I read it and I thought, wow, it took me to Proverbs 29, verse 18a. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So to see and have eyes to see, that's pretty important to me, because I've been where I've had so many surgeries. Since I was 14, I struggled with seeing. And I had surgery and then surgery and then surgery and more surgeries as I got older. So to see means a lot of things to me, because I want to see your face. I want to see my sister. I want to see Brother Hall and the people to hear. Vision here is not just physical sight, though. It's also the ability to perceive spiritual truths. We have to perceive. You know, when we perceive, it means that we're going to discern or recognize, and we're going to understand. The verses bring together justice, deliverance, and wisdom. That's what it does. It said, you know, so we'll start with verse 121. Oh, I want to sing a little song right here as is introductory. Show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to know you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways. You know, I want God to show me. I want him to lead me in the paths of everlasting life. That's right, his way, Linda. Verse 121 says, I have done judgment and justice. That's basically saying I've done what's right and I've kept your laws. And he said, leave me not to my oppressors. Well, oppressors are bullies. Y'all know that, right? They're bullies. They want control. I'm going to have to use them anyway. I hate glasses. They like confrontation and they love to stir up trouble. That's what they like to do. And sometimes they bring discord to the body of Christ because they're oppressors. To oppress means to treat unfairly and take away your rights or your freedoms by abuse of authority. That's what it is. And sometimes they treat people unjustly, cruelly. And we've all been there. It's happened. Oppression causes fear, stress, hopelessness. It causes us to be depressed and discouraged. That's what oppression does. That's why we have to fight that. John 10:10. And as I was praying about this, the Lord just brought scriptures to me. And so I added them in my little notes. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." You know, when oppression comes in our lives, in our church, in the body of Christ everywhere, we have to fight against that because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does a good job at it, Brother Hall. He does a good job at it. But we've got to stand up and say, "No, devil, not today."
Right.
Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise that we have to know that my oppressors are not going to overtake me. They're not going to bully me and press me down under. We get enough of that in the world today already. We don't need any help with that. Verse 122 says, "Be surety of thy servant for good, and let not the proud oppress me." The word surety is the state of being sure. He's saying, "I'm your servant. I'm a true servant." That's what he's saying. I am your servant. Not backing down. But a true servant is one who doesn't expect recognition or anything in return. That's what a true servant is. The proud are not servants. If you're a proud person, you're probably not a servant. Because proud people are self-seeking people. That's what they are. The proud are not servants. They are self-seeking people. The psalmist pleads, "Don't let the proud oppress me." We've already talked about what oppression does to us. It pulls us down and makes us feel defeated. It will discourage us and cause us to think there's no hope.
Right.
You know? And there's three enemies in the world today that steals our joy. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. In no particular order. It don't matter which one goes first. That's what it is. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. 2 Peter 1:10 said, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble." You're not going to fall. If you trust in God and you're diligent in serving God and following hard after Him, you're not going to stumble. We might stumble and fall to a degree, but we're going to get back up. You know why? Because we're children of the Most High King. We are the children of God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I got to that last sentence, it was just like the Lord said, you have to stand in faith without wavering. So I have another song. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Y'all know this. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you've got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. It's a little bit of faith. You can do anything. You can conquer the mountains. You can conquer the enemy. You have a choice. We have a choice. Amen. Verse 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. And that brings tears to my eyes because, you know, David was saying, my eyes fail. They're weary. Your eyes get weary when you feel like you have failed. The tears come. But he said, my eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. And I know that he longed after God. The Bible says he did. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look right on. In other words, just look straight ahead. That's the next part. And let your eyelids look straight before you. And down in verse 27, it said, turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So that means we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without him. Oh, Lord, I just thought of another song, but I'm not going to sing it. Oh, I got enough of them in here. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, yeah. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. But in his matchless grace, all we have to do is ask for forgiveness, and it's instant. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We can't take our eyes off of the Lord. And Linda and I, you know, I might be 12 minutes older than her, but we've always been together. Even when we grew up, got married, and went our separate ways for a while, and, you know, she was living one place, I was living somewhere else. But see, God never left us, and he never separated us completely because we always had a phone to call, whether it's the rotary dial or the cell phone now, you know. And we always wanted to go to church together. And then Tony come along, and he's going to do the same thing. Praise God. Wish my little brother had got that memo. The youngest brother, sorry. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we talked about that a while ago. We all have sin, one point or another, in some way or another. But Romans 15:13 is a great promise. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound, and that means to prosper,
oh, yeah,
in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I want the power of the Holy Ghost in me. The psalmist was expressing a deep longing for salvation and the fulfillment of his word. God is our only source of hope and joy and peace. He's our only source. Let's go to verse 124. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. The Living Bible said, Lord, I love this one. Lord, deal with me in loving kindness and teach me, your servant, to obey. That's what we want to do. The psalmist is asking God to deal with him based on his mercy, his love, his grace, and to teach him God's laws and ways. We all want to know that. Because it's not about us, it's all about him. It's all about him. Transformation takes place when we surrender or yield our will completely to him. You know, sometimes we don't like to surrender. Guilty? I'm guilty. When you're married, sometimes they want you to do things you don't really want to do. So, but as a wife, I surrender. The old song comes to me is, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed. Don't you remember as a little girl or a little boy, they start singing that message? And what do? You step out and you start going to the altar because you want to surrender all.
That's right.
It is a very moving song. Okay, thank you. I looked over there and it was way over there, so I thought. All right. Verse 125, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Wow. The Living Bible says, I'm your servant. That's what he's basically saying. And I love what this says. Therefore, give me common sense.
Wow.
To apply your rules to everything I do. Give me common sense. I don't have a lot of common sense sometimes. I guess it was that blonde coming out. But give me I heard that, Gordon. Give me understanding. I mean, give me common sense. You know, that's so simple. Yes. Discernment. That's right. Yeah, that was in my next sentence. No, you're not taking away from me. That's right. The psalmist is saying, I'm your servant. Give me understanding. Give me discernment. Because I need to know and to comprehend your ways and your laws. I want to know him. I want to know him. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Ooh, that's good. Matthew 7:7 said, "Ask and it will be given you." There was not a question if it would. It said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you." We have not because we ask not. If we don't ask, how can he do anything for us? If we don't have any needs, we don't need to ask. But there's not any of us here that don't have a need. We all have needs. Every moment of every day. Oh, gosh. Sometimes I'll call Linda. I'll say, "Linda, what are you doing?" "I'm just sitting here." She says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just sitting here." You know, we got to do something. Our job is faithfulness. And part of that faithfulness is we need to read and study the word. And I'm not telling y'all anything y'all don't know and that you don't already do. It's pretty easy to get the word out and read it, you know. And I know I want to be a servant of the Most High God. Do you? Yes. We all want to be servants of the Lord. We want to help our neighbor. We want to pick up the people that are sick and unable to come to church and minister to them. We don't have to go to their house, but we could call them on the phone. I'm guilty. And I dare say everybody in this room could say they're guilty that they've not made a phone call or that they've not reached out to a friend or someone in need. We have to do that. It's so important. It's so important. Verse 126. "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." So here he is saying, it's time for you to act, Lord. Your law's being broken. That's what he's saying. They were forsaking and deliberately disregarding God's law. They did it on purpose. And sometimes there's a fine line right there. There's a fine line. That's all I'm going to say about that. Yes, it is. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And this should help you. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places." I'm telling you, the word tells us how to be set free. It tells us how to walk. It tells us how to talk. That's what it does. It tells us what to do. Proverbs 18:21a says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So, if I'm speaking death, it's coming back on me. If I'm speaking life, that's on me as well. We can't speak death every day. We can't do it. We can't speak defeat all the time because we're going to get weary. We're going to get discouraged. We're going to get depressed. That's what happens. But we have the power in our tongue to speak life, and that's what we need to do every day. It's a promise that can change circumstances in our lives. It can change the circumstances that come in our lives. And we all have them. None of us are without circumstances in our lives. But if we speak His word and believe, it's going to happen. We have to speak His word. Philippians 4:13, everybody knows it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can. If you can't do anything else, sometimes you need to say, I can do this, Patsy. I can. He gives us strength to do the things that we need to do. But here's the key. We have to speak it. We have to believe it to receive it. We can believe it and we can speak it, but if we don't receive it, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We've got to speak it, believe it, and receive it. Let's go to verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. Yea, above fine gold. So here the psalmist is saying, I love God's laws more than the treasures and the wealth of this world. Psalms 119 and 72 says, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. That's a lot. Thousands of gold and silver. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We've got to love God's laws and His commands in our lives. And we may not receive gold and silver and all the treasures of this world in this life, but we are spiritually. Spiritually, we are. I've always, and I know Linda can say this too, we were always in church when we were real little, and Matthew 22:37 said, Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I can truly say I've loved Jesus since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I remember. I remember those days of being a little girl. And yeah, it was two of us. Mama had her hands full. But we just loved God with all our hearts. We didn't even know what it was to be saved. We had no clue. We just knew we loved God. That's all we knew, Brother Hall, till we got a little older and understood the plan of salvation. Amen. So I can honestly say I've always loved God. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Once we experience His love and the treasures of His word, hallelujah, the wealth of this world will not satisfy. It will not satisfy. Have you ever been hungry for something and you just couldn't satisfy that? Oh my goodness. Or you want to drink something. Well, is it going to be water? Is it going to be tea? Is it going to be a Coke? What's it going to be? And nothing satisfies. You know. And only Jesus can satisfy our soul. Only He can cleanse our hearts and make it whole. Wow. Only He can do that. Amen. I lost my Kleenex. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart and make it whole. What's the next line, Brother Hall? He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. The world's not going to satisfy the things of God. It can't, because it doesn't know. It has no idea. Doesn't comprehend the things of God. Verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Don't you hate people that lie to your face? They just lie. The psalmist is saying, I respect, Lord, all your commandments. I respect your laws and your ways, because they are right and just. But he said, I hate every false way, deception, and lies. Especially when they're not centered on God. You know, I hate every false way. You know, we can have people come up to us and say something, and you know, in your spirit, they're just lying through their teeth. We had kids growing up. Y'all got kids, and they grew up. Guess what? Kids will be kids. They're going to lie sometimes. Mom, I didn't do that. Linda did that. Vice versa. You know, I mean, people lie because the truth's not in them. We want the truth in us. We want to be ingrained and embedded with truth. Because I don't want to lie. I don't like it. My kids sometimes came in my house and they told a lie. And I said, whew, wait till your daddy gets home. Y'all know how that is. They learned they better not lie, or there's going to be consequences for their actions. And you know what? Every person that stands before God has to give an account. It's no need to lie then. You may have lied in your lifetime, but you're not going to lie in front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I guarantee you. Because you can't. He's truth. That's all He is truth. If we walk in obedience, I love this when the Lord gave this to me. If we walk in obedience, we walk in freedom. We can't be free if we're not obedient. It can't happen. And if we walk in full surrender, we are no longer a servant or a slave to sin. It's impossible. Can't do it. Because we can't surrender ourselves and still sin. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Well, in the flesh it's possible, but you know what I'm talking about. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I don't want to sin against God. I don't want to sin against friends, family, people of any shape, form, or fashion. I don't want to be deceptive. I want to always be truthful.
Right.
Everything that I say and everything I do, I want it to be pleasing to God. In everything. And I think I know we all do, because we're all here. And John 8:36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye are free indeed. Last song, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed with liberty. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Let's sing it again. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed with liberty. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. There you go. That's my, that's me. Hallelujah.
I guess.
Do you want...
Oh.